Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to YouthSWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, this is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial in 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. I'm delighted to be in the presence of the Lord and studying the Word of God and communicating my commentary on the convictions which God has released to me to communicate to that. Tonight, I believe that as ministers of the gospel, there needs to be an environment by which we can communicate, collaborate, consecrate, and then begin to commission out other ministers of the gospel based on the convictions that we have from the character of the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to really make an effect on the world through change that works, that only comes through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, tonight, I'm going to be what I'm ordained to be, which is a minister to the minister, and kind of communicate on a level of communication that I believe this ministry platform through the radio broadcast has not really entered into, and that is a consultation phase of the ministry. And for this week and perhaps next week as the Spirit directs, I want to talk about a very interesting subject. So let's look to the Father as we ask the Holy Spirit to involve himself in tonight's deliberation. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide tonight to give me clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, systematic flow tonight under the unction of the Holy Spirit as I bring clarity to the conflicts that ministers have tonight. Holy Spirit, I lean on you to say what only you would have me to say. I yield my members to obey and say what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything, you be glorified in the things that are accomplished and revealed. It is in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus, that I do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We live in a very interesting time in the body of Christ. Although the world seems to be deteriorating by the second, we have an anchor in Christ Jesus that affords us confidence and clarity, that keeps us in sync with the scheme of the ages, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You hear me coming on the radio each week giving you commentaries on the scriptures, suggestions on approaches to ministry, not really highlighting distinct facets of theology and doctrine, so that way you as the minister can be afforded confidence when you convey your conviction through communication. It is interesting that we as the church do not emphasize the importance of understanding communication and all its intricacies as it pertains to conveying faith to a secular society. And many of us have asphyxiated ourselves behind perceived and personas of faith versus actually establishing and developing ourselves in the faith that causes God's work to be manifested not only in our lives but the ones that we affect through the avenue of ministry. So there is a challenge to you as ministers of the gospel, wherever facet you minister in, whether it be preaching, whether it be music, whether it be workings of the ministry or supporting other ministers, it is imperative and important that we as the ministers of the gospel begin to manifest what we possess. And first, just the Christian experience. What do I mean? The very basics of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is its transforming effect on our character, on our conduct, and our convictions. And when our character and our conducts and convictions are not altered by the Christ-like gospel that we profess, then our words and our profession of faith is in vain. And so tonight I want to talk to you about a situation that I believe is occurring in this dispensation. Although grace is allotted to transform every single person here on planet Earth, if one does not choose to accept and submit to the will of God, they will find themselves suffering self-inflicted prophetic faith that comes on all that deny the importance and the imperatives of the Spirit. So we as the body of Christ need to truly take into consideration what messages we are conveying, especially when it becomes, when it pertains to us in leadership as those who carry the gospel. It is a travesty to see ministers of the gospel get to a place in life where their character deficiencies deny them the right to voice the confidence that only Christ can give due to quote-unquote sinful acts and also just character deficiency. This life demands a transparency and true transformation of character. And if that has not occurred in your life, no matter who calls you qualified, you are not qualified to carry forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What qualifies us? The qualifier of our ministry is the ability and the access that God has in us to do what he will as he pleases for our lives. That means our conduct, our convictions, and our characters are altered by Christ Jesus. And if Christ cannot alter our convictions, our conduct, and our character, then something is incorrect. The scripture outlines a clear, precise method of how we are to conduct ourselves as ministers of the gospel, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of this great profession of the kingdom of God. Yet we have so many deficiencies. And a man or anyone, mankind, must be found faithful over his own house before he can take care of the affairs of the household of faith. And we have seen too many people assume a position of leadership and have not been able to manage their households and thus create a dilemma. But there's a greater evil that is among us today. Not the evil of just making mistakes in ministry. But the evil is the mindsets that are set to present a gospel despite the transformation of the person's life. It's okay to preach the salvation message of the Lord Jesus Christ that redeems us from sin, but still live a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God. And we capitalize it under God's compelling forces of love that can transcend the stains of sin. And yes, it can transcend, but it also can transform to the point that your sins can be whiter than snow. So, I have a question for you tonight. Is ministry your fix? There's a lot of masks that people put on when it comes to ministry. People have learned the gimmicks of Christianity. They know when to say amen. They know how to shout hallelujah. They know how to sound like a preacher. But the basic elements and the convictions that should uphold us come from the written word of God. And if it's not understood, comprehended, and then communicated in a way that we are convicted by those things that we have comprehended from the scriptures, then there's something going on that we're coining under ministry that should not be. One of the suggestions that I would give you is to sign up for the Ministry Perfecting Institute, understanding the purposes for the ministry as described clearly in the scripture. What are the purposes of the ministry? They're found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 and 14. And when you go outside of those purposes, then you are in another frame of ministry. So we need to go back to the purposes of ministry. And when that is understood, then we can truly deal with this imbalance to our ministry lives. And let me say this. Your manner of life is your greatest attribute to ministry, not your messages. Because first of all, it shouldn't be your messages in the first place. You should be just transcribing what God has conveyed to you. It should be his messages. So you shouldn't take credit for something that you couldn't do in the first place. Because I could sit here and try to make it seem like, you know, I came up with the methodology, you know, and I have a system of operation, a modus operandi to how I convey my messages. But it's God that gave me the intent and the content to this deliberation. And some of us hide behind ministry to avoid reality. A ministry can become an ideology when it's not intended, when the intentions are misconstrued. So we need to really deal with, okay, first of all, scripturally, am I in line and in conjunction with the purpose of the ministry? And then once that is placed in order, am I qualified and worthy to walk? See, Ephesians chapter 4 begins with walk worthy of the vocation for which you were called. So this is not a persona that you portray as a preacher, but this is a lifestyle. And this lifestyle is embedded with convictions, embedded with character traits that are divinely adapted, and they're also embedded with conduct that are demanded of us as those who have sacrificed our lives, hung ourselves on the cross willingly, to identify with God so that his church could grow in the nature and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there needs to be a restoration of the meaning of ministry, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. There are five groups that are affected the greatest when ministry is your fix. First of all, the minister itself. Minister is greatly affected because denial is set place. Ministry addiction is a real addiction. And that's something that we as people of the church need to really examine. Hey, you can act like you're saved, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. You can act like you're sanctified, that doesn't mean that you're sanctified. You can act like you're in ministry, but that doesn't mean that you are in ministry. There are many that are crying, Lord, Lord, and I've never known you. Jesus already said that. Think he's how you hear. Have the Holy Spirit open your understanding as to why you are here and what you're doing. If you're doing things just for the sake of being a representative of the church, then Jesus doesn't need no greater example other than himself. He already gave everything that he needed for the church to be in the perfected state that it's called to. Our job is to simply do and say exactly what he says, comply with his nature, comply with his essence, comply with his character. And when we do that, we will find a quality of life that is superior to the world, that doesn't keep us, that keeps us from falling, that makes all grace abound to us, so that we have all sufficiency in all things, not wanting, not lacking. We see these things in Scripture, but I wonder if the Scripture is a joke to the minister, or is it truly a step of faith? And the just live by faith. They're not professing faith. And if you can't live by your own faith, the Lord knows, how can you teach other people concerning the faith? So the first person that's affected when the ministry is your fix is the minister itself. The form of denial is birth. Then secondly, the mate. The mate, whoever you're in a relationship with intimately, is affected. And they are the greatest reflection of your personal ministry. Too many times, you know, we have allowed so much perversion to go on in the church that, hey, a minister can leave their wife, abuse their spouse, and do any old kind of thing, and we still applaud them as great ministers of the gospel. I don't see how you can sit under a person who cannot manage their own household well. That is the underlying determination to whether or not they're qualified to lead you. And God, hey, if God cannot afford you the manifested wisdom to maintain your personal life, why would he entrust other lives to your words that should communicate faith to the hearer? So there has to be some decisions and some divisive transparency when it comes to you personifying the ministry which you say you profess. And the church has failed at this notion, not the church, but those who are in the congregation, because the church that is built upon Christ will never fail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And so, the minister, the mate, and then the minors, the offspring, the children are looking at you. People are looking at you all the time. The minors are looking at you, the children, and then, of course, the ministry itself is at a greatest effect when the ministry is your fix, and then the members. Some of us are so involved, you know. You listen, I'll never forget when I was intercession with T.D. Jakes, and he made the comment. He said, you know, some of us have mastered this ministry game so that we'd be like docking. We start calling each other docking and start minoring on the major, majoring on the minor and minoring on the major phase. And it's truly evident in today's communication with other ministers. I mean, ministers can't share with you what God is truly revealing in their hearts because they're at a almost like a defense, as if they can't discuss with you the things which God has revealed to them. And we don't have true meaningful ministers really collaborating together, and that lack of communication has affected the members, the ministry, the minors, the mates, and the minister. And so those groups are affected when ministry is just fixed. And generally when a fix is established, it's because there's some form of malfunction in your character. And what we need like never before is ministers who have character, true expressions of morality and ethics. And so there are five ways to change your meaning. Number one, mediation. There needs to be some type of discussion, and that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm saying let's discuss and come up with some ways to determine whether or not I am hiding behind ministry as a way to prevent or avoid true personal development with the maker of heaven and earth. See, because you're not fooling anybody else. You may be fooling other people, but you're not fooling God or the righteous for that sake. Real begets real. And so there needs to be some form of mediation, some form of coming together, some form of platform where we can sit down and talk and sit down and collaborate and say, hey, am I in the ministry for the right reasons? Am I preaching the message which God has given me, or am I coming up with a methodology of my own? Am I establishing meaningful relationships as it pertains to the ministry, or am I coming up with some suggestive traits of others of my own? And then after there's a mediation, then there should be some form of meditation. Meditation is when you allow God's word to take a proper place in your life, when you allow it to roll in your mind, to roll in your makeup, to be a part of your conduct in your daily affairs. Meditation. And then after that, then there's some memorization. There are some things that you need to know at memory. Some things pertaining to your communication, some things pertaining to your consecration, some things concerning your conduct that you should keep as standards of things that you can memorize, that you can know how to review things, how to reflect, memorize your process of reflection, memorize your process of introspection, memorize your processes of avoidance and eradications and things like that, various things. Whatever you do to get yourself in right alignment, you need to memorize it. And then there are some things you need to master. The scripture says, look, if you're not going to be mastered by something, or if you're not going to be a slave to something, you're going to have to be the master of it. So we have to take some courageous steps to truly master this thing called ministry. And we do it in a state of balance, in a state of where ministry does not define our personality, but it complements our personal convictions, and it portrays to the world the compelling force of the gospel and the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a manifestation. And what I mean by manifestation is not something that you make known, but something that God can spiritually endow and make known through your lifestyle. And that's where we want to achieve. So that's our roadmap: mediation, meditation, memorization, mastery, and manifestation. So we're talking about restoring the meaning of ministry. Now, the purpose and the objective of Is My Ministry My Fix is to discuss in-depth the concerns of imbalance in ministry within ministers and identifying sources of restorations and resolutions, reprioritizing the purpose of ministry, and reestablishing a greater standard of consecration. And, of course, you know, every few years when I'm doing studying with the ministers, like Empowering the Preacher's Life, of prayer life, being established in righteousness, divine development, cultivating divine reality, doctrines, disciplines, and discipleships, all those teachings that we have produced on this radio club, the hour of manifesto, the great manifestation, different aspects of the preacher's life. Every time we go through these teachings, we always come back to this word consecration, which is indicative of our covenant with God, our communication with God, our compliance to the will of God. And so when those things occur, I find myself saying, okay, Lord, why do you have us back in this consecration? And it's because this new priesthood that is established after the order of Melchizedek, which brought on a greater perpetual sense of the priesthood perpetually in the kingdom of God, when we come under this order, we should begin to reflect the covenant that is instinctive in our minds, in our law, the laws that have been right officiated in our conscience, so that way we can transmit the will of God through our lifestyle, through our language, and through our love toward the brethren. And so there is a way to go about these things for ministry, and it's going to be coming through the avenue of restoration and reconciliation toward the meanings or the purpose, underlying purposes of ministry. And so in this next session, I really want to hit this, and I will expand this in future lessons, but I want you to understand that people who do drugs and partake in other stereotypical addictive behaviors are very locked down in our society. And on in our society. And why? Because their behavior causes themselves and maybe others harm because of the general principles that outline conduct for society. The principle is that one's obsession of any kind is unhealthy. And ministry can become an obsession, which can make it unhealthy when we prioritize our meaning of life under the quote-unquote workings of the ministry. So religious addictions occur at a rapid rate more than the addictions of people who physically use a substance to alter their perceptions. When there is an inability to think, doubt, or question your religious viewpoints and information and those spiritual authorities, and while maintaining a religious front or high, trance-like state, keeping a happy faith of beliefs and others, then you know that you are addicted to the ministry. And so these are true valid concerns when it comes to ministers of the gospel. Some of us have learned how to keep such a positive persona that when things are happening in our lives that we should address, we don't confront it. So God, look, you wonder why somebody could be so awesome with the message of salvation and bring thousands to the body of Christ and neglect their health lifestyle and die a death that causes shame on the church because they have avoided their personal lifestyle, all under the sake of, quote-unquote, doing the work of the ministry. Well, while you have a body, if you don't take control and ownership of your body, you do the ministry just as much injustice as you do your own personal life. Don't get so asphyxiated in your mind for doing the, quote-unquote, work of ministry without embodying the meaning of the ministry. And the meaning of the ministry is realized in its effect to manifest the transforming and transfiguring power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live this Christian life. So there should be something in you that engineers you to perform under the power and the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ, that keeps you steady, that keeps you steadfast, unmovable, yet abounding in the work of the Lord, so your labor is not in vain. There are indications when there are deficiencies in ministry. And these are things that are critical that we must learn and learn to extract, because there are ministry addictions out there. And we see this all the time. You see someone singing all the time, going around touring all over the country singing meaningful ministry and have sexual addictions privately. You see ministers preaching marriage conferences and end up beating their wives. Ministry addictions. You see ministers going around planting churches, starting, becoming every title they can think of, and their home is jacked up. Ministry addictions. Ministry addictions. You see, people not going after just natural endeavors in life, going to church and meeting every service every time, tithing, giving offers, never receiving a turn, and never going back to God and saying, hey, why am I not getting these returns? Ministry addictions. Ministry addictions. You see people joining churches and being in churches that they know is wrong, doing actions that they know is wrong, looking at people acting like complete idiots and fools, and still remaining steadfast. Why? Ministry addictions. It's just like a drug. You need your fix. You need to be there every Sunday. You need to be preaching every Sunday. You need to be on somebody's pulpit every Sunday. You need to be texting like you're having many appointments because you're a ministry fix. You're a ministry addict. You're out of control. And the steps of a good man are not suggested by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And when you're ordered by the Lord, you delight in his way. And when you delight in his way, he makes plain paths before your feet. He gives you the steps and he says, before you call, he will answer. So there's a certain assurance to your walk when you begin to get ordered by the Lord. You know, I was in a conversation with some people today, and we were talking about people expressing themselves in the Holy Ghost and, you know, you know, people say when you have the Holy Spirit, you can't control yourself. Absolutely not. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So whatever in you can be sustained by you. That's why you have a body. You are a spirit, and you possess a soul. All of that is controlled. You can't tell me you cannot control the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. That's ignorance. The spirit of the prophet and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not have you rolling on the floor like an idiot. He will not have you dancing for no reason. He will not have you lift your hands and speak in tongues when there's no interpretation. There's order to the Holy Spirit. God said he does everything in decency and in order. And when we learn God's order on things, we will begin to pursue after righteousness and achieve true holiness and true righteousness, which no man can see the Lord, and approach the things of God. And some of us are at the surface of religiosity and the traditions of men, which is true religiosity, makes the word of none effect. You saw how Jesus dealt harshly with the Pharisees because of their hypocritical actions. Their actions were not embedded by true convictions. They had no substance to what they believed. And so when they transmitted things of the law, they tried to judge people by laws that they themselves did not uphold. God said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone, and no one could cast the stone. Why? Because their convictions were not concrete. They were fixed in ministries, but they were not true ministers. And so there are deficiencies that we must address in ministry. And these are valid concerns. Number one, commissionless ambitions. Commissionless ambitions. What is the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ? To go into ye all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipling, making them disciples, bringing them into the soul, into all the world, going into all the world, seeing the global effect of evangelism. Making Christ-like disciples. But there must be a qualifying thing that when people come to us and they see our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they ask us, what must I do to be saved? So when we have commissionless ambitions, there's a deficiency in the meaning of ministry. Some of us are doing things that we call it in ministry, and God has nothing to do. It does not reinforce the commission of the Lord Jesus. And when it comes to his ministry, his administration, we must go by his objective. And that's why I often refer you back to Ephesians 4, and I tell you to take the Ministry Perfecting Institute. Because if you don't know the purpose, when the purpose is misunderstood, abuse is inevitable, as Dr. Miles Monroe will put it. Number two, conflicting character references. Conflicting character references. Who is your examples? Some of us refer more to a commentary than we do Christ. Some of us refer more to cultural convictions than we do to Christ. Character references. We're looking at the wrong people communicating the wrong messages. These are indications that the meaning of ministry has a deficiency. It's ministry you're fixed. Questions that you have to ask yourself. Thirdly, constrain consecration. And consecration has a connotation of your covenant, your connection with God, and your commitment to adhere to the will of God. So when all of those things are out of sync, then there's something going on malfunctioning in your ministry. It's ministry you're fixed. This is when you let ministry to be a mask. All of these things have personified things. And another one is church conflicts with the household. You're always at the church all the time. You're never home. You never go on vacations. You can never steal time away to go clear your head and think. Ministry deficiencies. It's ministry you're fixed. And last but never least, something that I hope to, in the future, preach a whole series on, is communicating atheistic theology. We live in a time today that people have connivingly conveyed a theology that comes from atheistic viewpoints and perceptions, questioning standards that should be steadfast in our convictions, because we can vividly see with our eyes and hear it with our ears. We should be converted. But there are atheistic inserts that cultures try to force upon the church to take into consideration, especially when it comes to sexuality, sensuality, sociology. All of those mechanisms try to insert atheistic viewpoints, and then we transmit something that God would never say and God would never do. But yet, when we get up there, we say we are ministers of God. It's ministry you're fixed. Restoring the meaning of ministry. These are deficiencies in ministry. Commissionless ambition. Conflicting character references. Constrained consecration. Church conflicts with the home. And communicating atheistic theology. We can change every single one of them. We can change every single one of them by one word. Resolving to Christ. To Christ. So there are challenges that our convictions should use to control our time management, because obviously you understand that when ministry is your fix, there's something wrong with the management of your time. Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, the writer wrote in Ecclesiastes, or actually Numbers. And this is what we need as believers to truly embrace when it comes to conveying our ministry. If you can't control your time, your ministry, well, first of all, if you can't manage your home, you can't control time management, then there are some malfunctions going on that you really need to consider how you are convicted. And that's what this is. We should challenge our convictions with things. These convictions used to control our time management. Number one, our considerations of the directives of the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit tap you on the shoulder and you conduct a whole day by implementing the directives of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, I had a comment of a person that is just, you know, they had committed adultery. And then they wanted to commit adultery, and they got into an improper relationship and do some time. They asked their wife to forgive them. The wife stayed, and they're having problems, and now they just want to jump into ministry because the wife's still having challenges. Well, one, they don't see that the greatest ministry is the management of their home, because you cannot outwardly connect, expand the kingdom of God from your household if your household is not exemplifying the kingdom of God. So it's already, there are already some malfunctions in the process. And let's get out of this notion that we can perform greatly in ministry without managing our household. Come on now. And someone needs to be able to tell you transparently the truth, neglecting how you may feel and what you may say or what you think. Someone needs to tell you you're out of order, you're out of control, you need to get a grip and get it together. And God has anointed this program to be, in an organized fashion, that type of conversation, communicating to ministers, hey, get a grip. Go back to the meaning of ministry and see if you check out with the convictions that are stipulated from God's word and not your perception of God's word. And so we have to take considerations of the directives of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we have to see what constraint reflections on causes and effects have. What's the cause and the effects of our actions? And then after that, we have to see what constraints are embedded in our Christ-like values. And then fourthly, we have to exemplify characteristics that signature the reflections of our individual callings. Fifthly, there should be codes, indications, signals that can alert your conscience to restrain your conduct. These are, again, challenges that convictions should use to control your time management. Considerations of the directives of the Holy Spirit. Constraints on reflections of the causes and effects. Constraints on the embedded Christ-like values. And then characteristic signatures that reflect your individual callings. And then fifthly, codes that can alert your conscience and restrain your conduct. And so, listen to this. When you find that ministry is your fix, you need to take some time to get some clarity. And those are questions that you ask. Hey, am I going based on the directives of the Holy Spirit? Is this what God told me to do? What is the purpose of this? Am I really living like Christ's values were depicted by his words? And then, can my character sign my name honorably based on doing what I'm called to do versus what people want me to do? And then codes. Do I have indicators? People, places, things that can say, hey, at this point, you need to get some self-control. And if that's not in place, then your convictions hold no value. So there are some standards to portray when fulfilling the task of ministry. Five of them. Number one, covenant agreements between you and God. Plain and simple. What did you commit to God, and what did God commit to you? Number two, communication that reflects a consecrative and divine deliberative convictions and objectives. Meaning, hey, you need to learn to live off of what you have been led to do through prayer and through hearing and obeying and communicating to the voice of God. And if you can't believe what is written, the Lord knows you can't perceive the things that are revealed. So, thirdly, constant reviews of courses of action and accountability. You need to make sure, hey, am I doing this? What's going on with me? What's my courses of action? Some of you don't have a regimen. And here you have a Bible that is set in a system that constantly reveals revelations and insight, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in terms and symbols. And God is like, hey, I can't even count on you to do what I've called you to do because you have not had a constant review of your courses of action. And then look, then you need to set up creative efforts of simplicity. These are standards to portray when fulfilling the task of ministry. There should be a way that you go about simplifying your affair. And this should be done truly before you try to portray your ministry. And then finally, you need to always resolve to commission objectives, which are simply outlined in the scripture. You don't need a brain to interpret it. You don't need someone to misunderstand. You need to read and comply. Am I doing what the commission of the Lord Jesus that he set forth for the church to do? Am I doing it, or am I just doing my own thing? Amen. And this is what we're getting to. Because some of us, ministry is our fix. And when you try to operate in your own form of righteousness, the scripture says you already have your own reward. There's no fulfillment. No fulfillment in that. So then there are areas that we need to review when ministry is overwhelming, because a lot of times when these standards are not portrayed in fulfilling the task of ministry, then ministry becomes overwhelming and burdensome, and then we have depression and oppression and all of these secular terms that are coined under demonic influences. Why? Because we're not really being led by the Spirit. So there are areas to review when ministry is overwhelming. Number one, constant regimens of work and study, including your devotion. So you need to take in consideration, hey, when your areas are overwhelming, more than likely you're not studying God's word, and you don't have control over what you do during the day. And there should be a certain amount of things that you do that people cannot interfere with, because you're supposed to be working with God. It's him that causes you to will and do his good pleasure. So, number two, casual affairs and relationships. A lot of times your casual affairs and relationships, and what I mean, I'm not saying casual affairs is sexual affairs. That's a whole other thing. But I'm talking about casual affairs of like what you do, there's no purpose behind it. And so when you're going around casual affairs and developing these relationships, they're clamoring your time of consecration with the Lord. And then another thing that I'm learning, too, is your commitment to other colleagues of faith. You got to be careful of that. Some of you have made yourself spiritual sons to people who are not spiritual fathers. There is no need for a spiritual father when you have the heavenly father. And I'm just telling you, this whole connotation of spiritual father and spiritual sonship and all of this false theology that's produced out of erroneous concepts of the kingdom has truly disturbed you from truly having a proper and healthy perspective pertaining to the ministry. You're doing what other people tell you to do. You're a slave to other people's ambitions. And then communication with God and the directives from the Holy Spirit. Something's wrong with your communication with God. You know, and then you hear preachers now when they preach, and you don't hear, when they hear somebody saying they hear from God to tell them certain things consistently, they make this thing, God can't be speaking all the time. Well, the Bible says, his sheep know of his voice and the voice of another, they will not follow. So obviously he's speaking enough for them to have a knowledge of his voice. And then committed invitations to times and committed to beliefs. So in other words, when these areas are overwhelming, when ministry is overwhelming, there's a lot of times because you've been invited yourself to places because of other belief systems, and you can't always rely on that. So listen, there are five areas of conflict when ministry is overwhelming. And I want you to understand that, first of all, it's a cognitive deficiency, and it prevents cognitive development, meaning growth in your mindset. And then number two, your Christ-like character is altered. You're not being led by the Spirit of God, so then your sonship is at stake. You don't know how to exist as a child of God because you're not led by the Spirit of God. And then your, of course, communication. Always communication. You can always go to the natural aspect of it is communication, whether you receive a divine communication, whether you learn how to communicate. Because a person that communicates effectively knows how to set a span over how much they can do in a time of day. You can't do everything. Hey, the love of the enemy would love to make ministry messy. And I don't think as ministers we truly see that, hey, I can look like a schizophrenia, like I'm schizophrenic in ministry. Popping up like popcorn everywhere, doing things without a sense of purpose. And that doesn't portray to God a person that is truly led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know it's a little tight, and I just have to give it how the Holy Spirit gives it to me. So when there's communication deficiency, then consistency in devotion is also in question, and then the cares of this world consume the individual. So there are areas to aggressively control when examining reformation of ministry priorities. And this is what we have to remember. We got to develop some priorities when it comes to the ministry. Number one, we need to examine the overall God-given objectives to and evaluate our commitment. Then number two, we need to establish a relationship with someone that can transparently build resolve with you. Not just for you, but with you. Somebody that you can go through this process with. And that takes trust on the Holy Spirit and a level of transparency on your part. And getting healthy resolves. And I'm not just talking about resolving to psychological opinions. And counseling methods. Because God may have you go to someone who ain't a bit more a counselor or a bit more a psychologist, but they can help and speak to you to where you understand. It could be somebody that you don't even expect to have the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but God can open up that understanding to where they can speak directly to your life. And so, if you hear anything in this minute, this time of discussion, that points to you really reconsidering some purposes concerning to why your conduct, your commitment, and your convictions, then I'm not only going to pray for you at the end of this lesson. I want you to listen to this lesson, download this lesson, transpose this message, and then get involved and get connected with someone. And this ministry has a means by which you can get connected. If you don't have someone that you can talk to that can say to you, hey, brother, you are tripping, you're out of the will of God, you're not doing things according to the word of God, and you need to get some things together, then I'm going to be that person. You contact me. I'm going to give you my direct line where you can leave a message and I can get your information and I'll communicate to you when I'm available. And my direct line is 641-715-3900, extension 33995. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 33995. Or you can call our ministry consultation line, which is 641-715-3900, extension 5584457. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 5584457. So I'll say that again at the end of the lesson, but I wanted to, at that point, establish a relationship with someone that can transparently build results with you. And we are doing that as a ministry for ministers. And that's why we have the Ministers Fellowship to really build this particular gap. Fourthly, we need to escape ministry public agendas until we have a resolve from God to approach ministry again. Sometimes he got to let stuff go. Depending on how serious you in the mess that you're in, you do not need to present yourself publicly before the ministry and bring shame to the church overall. Some of us are so messy we don't care, and it's just a sign that we don't care about God's church and God's people because of the way we convey our mess. You a mess. And you want everybody to know you a mess. I mean, now, you know, preachers, you know, come out on Facebook, you know, pass out notes. You didn't even ask to know, and they just send you notes talking about what they are. That's a mess. That's not the method in which God would convey. After you are converted, strengthen your brother. Let's stick to the order that God said in his book. And I know some people will think, you know, that's harsh, but oh well. Somewhere we have to stay with the convictions, the conduct, and the commitments that we have to the things of God that has been outlined by the Word of God. So we have to escape ministry public agendas until we have a release from God to approach ministry again. You got to learn to let it go. And it's not that you can let ministry go, but you can truly thrive in ministry. Jesus told you to feed the sheep, not to sleep with them, not to do his job, but feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so then you have to encourage yourself fiercely in the Lord, for this is right. And that's the part that we need to keep in the forefront. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building edification to yourself. Edification to spiritually evolving into the things of God. Being led and guided exclusively by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So restoration to the meaning of ministry will come by five simple resolves. Number one, the resolve to live by faith and not by sight. Number two, the resolve to be led by the Holy Spirit, which knows the truth for you. Number three, to resolve to regularly attend a place of worship where you're not a leader but a participant. And sometimes, especially if you're the pastor, that's not at your church. You need to go someplace where you can worship God. Ain't nobody worried about you being on the front row. Nobody putting you in the VIP section. You just go there to worship. Go there to hear the words. Go there to pray. And you can leave and do what you got to do. And then the resolve to trust God. And, of course, fourthly, that was fourthly, the resolve to trust God. And then also the resolve not to be a religious fanatic, to not be imbalanced, to not allow religion and the ministry to become an addiction. That's just a resolve. I'm not going to allow the ministry which God gave me and entrusted to me to be my fix. I'm going to allow that same message to not only be mere words, but to manifest the quality of life that God has ordained from the foundations of the world. And so when the meaning of ministry will manifest, you will see these attributes come alive in your life. Number one, the manifold wisdom of God through Christ Jesus. Number two, the manifestation of the power and the peace of God through the Holy Spirit that surpasses all understanding. Number three, the meditation upon the Word of God constantly and consistently and systematically. Because God is the God of order. And then fourthly, and I love this one, the mercy of God and the grace of God given to every believer. Sometimes you have to learn to say, Lord, have mercy on me. And when you truly ask God for mercy, my God from Zion, thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. He'll give you a peace and a grace to perform true ministry. And then fifthly, you have to have a mastery of resorting to patience having its perfect work. That's all I got for you tonight. There's more to come. There's more to come. Is ministry your fix? Is ministry your fix? God wants to show us as ministers a greater means to his majesty. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word did not return unto you void, but it accomplished that which you pleased and purposed. I trust that the anointing on your word will provoke the attention of the preachers tonight. that, Lord, it's not about their own ambitions. It's not about just performing religious rhetoric and talking religious rhetoric, but it's about manifesting your true nature and your character. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Father. Show us, Father. Reveal to us, Father, how to not be addicted to ministry, but how to operate in ministry in the manner and the majesty, majestic nature of your will. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' precious name, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing your word tonight. There's two books I want to suggest to you. One of the books is by Marty Tilton, powerful book. Marty Tilton was the former wife of Robert Tilton, been in ministry since 1974, served as a pastor, general manager, and administrative operations. He's the leader of women's meetings and the founder of the Outstanding Young Americans Awards program and Lexington Academy Preparatory School, author of Fear and co-author of Dare to Be a Success. He travels and speaks both nationally and internationally, and she's a great woman of God, but she has a story written in a book called The Only Way Out is Through Courage in Times of Trouble. And I think this is a good book for ministers to read of how you can totally destroy your ministry by having ministry as your fist. So I'd encourage you to get that book. And then there's another book. I like a particular author, and I like to refer to him. He has a very unique approach to exegesis of the scriptures, and I believe he's anointed for this time. I highlight him as an excellent teacher of the Word of God. I believe that the revelation of the Holy Spirit may need to be illuminated a little bit in his ministry and some other things that I don't agree with, but I think primarily he's still a great teacher and educator of the scriptures. Alistair Begg wrote a book with Derek Primes on being a pastor, understanding our calling and work. And I think it's a very good book pertaining to the ministry, giving you some insights on committing yourself to devotion and study and integrity in ministry. And so another book I would also recommend, always recommend, is The Spirit Advance Training book by E.W. Kenyon. And also I always recommend any of the teachings of Derek Prince, who has a book called The Spirit-Filled Believer's Handbook that I think will help you. And then, of course, if you want to get a general understanding on the scriptures, I encourage a very simple read book called What the Bible is All About by Dr. Henrietta Mears, who also gives great insight on the Word of God. And then again, I said to you in the message that if you are a minister that needs any form of consultation, or you would like to speak with me directly concerning things pertaining to the ministry, I make myself available, and you can dial me at 641-715-3900, extension 33995. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 33995. Or if you want to call our general ministry mailbox for consultation, where we'll refer you to another minister that has experience in counseling, we can give you. You can call us at 641-715-3900, extension 558-4457. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 558-4457. And there you can leave a prayer request, or you can leave information as to how to get back to you concerning the situation. And if you have any questions and comments and concerns concerning these programs, you can always look on our website and find out information on how to contact us, and we'll give you information on how to get more products and teachings and information and anything pertaining to our ministry that you will have need. We make ourselves available and transparent before you. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is Levon Gula, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, and host of Rhema Remnant Radio. I thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. It was truly a delight to be able to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I present in our next discussion, as we continue on this subject, is ministry, my faith, that you will continue to be provoked to perfection in Christ, and that you will achieve great exploits for his name's sake, and not only for your own. Live long and prosper. God bless you and good night. God bless you.